gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie, won't you? Why am I the perfect spokeswoman for GoToMeeting?
Why?
Because I've become a complete elderly shut-in. I'm back in the chaise lounge with my analgesic patch on my back.
What did you do?
I tried to live. I tried to get up from the kids' table and do the show from the big chair yesterday, and that did not go well for me.
Things went awry.
They did. I had to go to the... Well, this is my life now. As you know, I go just to doctors and then back home again.
Right.
So I went to the chiropractor and the acupuncturist and then back home.
Again?
Yes.
How often do you have to go to these people?
Every few days I go because with my broken foot, I keep throwing my back out, and I'm a bit of a mess, as you know. Well, I've become that crazy cat lady.
Yes, you have.
That dies because she's allergic to cats.
Yeah.
We've decided I become that. I spend the whole morning going, help me. Help mommy.
Here, kitties. Here, Twilight. Here, Boxcar. Teddy. Where's mommy's little shoe face? Come, popcorn. That's right. Frisky time, frisky. Help mommy.
That's awful.
I can accept the difference as I have dogs, and then I will eventually be eaten by my dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you won't notice for a few days that I'm not here, and that's where I'll have fallen and been eaten by my dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll just call John Fugelsang.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or Hell Sparks. Somebody.
Yeah.
All right. The acupuncture, I don't know if it's helping, but some listeners swear by that it heals your bone faster, so I don't really know. Mm. I did yell the F word when one needle went in yesterday, which I don't think you should, but it hurt.
That's scary. Doesn't that scare
the... I had so many needles, I looked like Hellraiser.
Yeah. That's,
yeah. And some of them went right in my face. Okay, but...
You're not supposed to scream because that scares the acupuncturist
yes.
and they do things wrong.
Yes, exactly. He did jump when I... that stung a little bit. One of them stung going in.
I jump when you scream at me.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right. And here's the main torture, though. I didn't realize this in chiropractor and acupuncturist office here mm-hmm. in L.A. They still play Enya, which...
I like Enya. Don't be dissing on my Enya.
I was like, okay, now I've had enough. I don't mind the six needles in my face, but the Enya is...
Don't be dissing on my Enya.
Who knew they still played that? All right.
I still play it at home.
Oh.
I have every Enya album ever released.
Don't ever say that out loud again. You will never get laid again. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. Big, big show to get to. Lots going on. Representative Allison Schwartz, one of our personal favorites from the great state of Pennsylvania, joins us now. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. How are you?
I've been better.
Okay. I just got in on the very tail end of that conversation, but we'll take a break and move on.
Yeah.
Thank God you worked on health care. That's all I have to say. Can you call my insurance company? They refused my chiropractic sessions yesterday. despite all your hard work.
Exactly.
So, before we get into everything else, talk about the, you have this therapeutic tax credit you got included in the health care law, speaking of which. And you had a roundtable event in your district with the, small biotech firms that will benefit from this tax credit. Just tell us about it.
Well, what's exciting and a great opportunity for us in this country is that we, as you may well know, do quite a bit of research and development for new products, new devices and new medicines, and a lot of them come from these very small biotech companies in southeastern Pennsylvania, the Philadelphia region. We have a good many of them, maybe because we have so much medical research and teaching and universities, and they spin off these small companies that are doing really remarkable work that could be the new cures and treatments of the future. But they have you know, there are real issues in terms of finding capital to keep them going in the early days of both discovery and then moving to the kind of trials and then actual product development. So it's a long haul. It's usually at least 10 years before they really actually can even make it to the point of getting approved by the FDA. But while our big pharmaceutical companies do it, a lot more of the research and development now is being done by these small biotech companies. Mm-hmm. So I was approached by the many of them who said, what really would be useful is a tax credit, sort of an investment tax credit that they could sort of borrow against and, you know, future earnings is the way to do it, and help us stay afloat during some critical points in research and development. So I did get into the healthcare bill, up to $1 billion of a tax credit to support these biotech research. Mm-hmm. Small firms have to be under 250 employees, and with the applications, the applications have to come in and be reviewed, and just closed, and I met yesterday with a number of firms in my district that are hoping to be able to access anywhere from $300,000, $500,000 to a couple million dollars. Mm-hmm. To help be able to do this. And it's quite remarkable what they're working on. They may not all pan out, but then again, imagine if the company that is working on a better treatment for diabetes or a pill,
right,
you know, rather than a machine, you know,
right, for the
really
disease you're dealing with, sure,
big deal savings for us in the healthcare sector, and
right,
also, of course, the savings in life and suffering of so many Americans.
Congresswoman Schertz, let's talk about you also have you're on the Ways and Means Energy Jobs Bill. You have a few provisions in that. You know, don't you love it when somebody accidentally speaks the truth in politics? I don't know if you saw Senator Franken yesterday said, you know, I just sort of don't get what the Republicans are doing. It's almost like they don't want people to get jobs before the election. I mean,
I think to some extent that they don't want us to succeed, and if they don't want the Democrats who are in the majority to succeed, and particularly we're doing a lot of work right now to help stimulate growth in the private sector, of course, but particularly for small businesses. And you heard about my work on biotech. These are innovative new companies that are growing, that are producing jobs. What I'm doing in the energy bill that I'm working on Ways and Means, it's about moving these biofuels. If any of us think of this, sounds kind of futuristic to say algae or food byproducts are going to create fuel, but in fact they do, and moving them to refineries, really biorefineries that are in this country, that are new businesses, creating jobs, succeeding in creating those clean, new, renewable energy sources to supplement our use of fossil fuels. This is a win not just for Democrats, not just for Congress.
Right.
It's a win not just for the president. It's win for the American people.
Right.
And
but, you know,
be joining us.
Congresswoman, we've had this discussion before, but, you know, if it weren't so bad out there and affecting so many people, you really would laugh. I think I was listening to a news report driving in today, and I thought, you know, it was something about financial reform is, you know, or campaign finance reform is coming before the Senate today. And I thought, you can fill in the blank every time. Republicans are expected to try to block this. It's like it doesn't matter what it is.
It
you know.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how small or big. For example, we have a small business lending bill. This is one of the things we hear from small businesses every day in our districts is they're really having a hard time borrowing money.
Yep.
And the way small businesses work is they borrow money so they can buy the raw products and hire folks to make them. And then when they sell all those products, they pay back their line of credit. It's the way business works in this country. And if they don't have that line of credit, if they don't have that lending available to them, people don't get to go to work. And we don't make products in the United States and to buy. So this is actually, who could be opposed to using $30 billion of money we already have to be able to help community banks lend to small businesses? This, in any other year, I think, you know, we would have seen Republicans say, absolutely, that's what we agree on. But the leadership in particular and most of the Republicans who have gone along are just saying no.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, there would be things like what you just talked about, small business, that you'd think everyone could agree on. But it just, you know, I mean, it seems like it's gotten even more frustrating here closer to the elections, hasn't it? Where we're just not, I mean, any issue that comes up, you just think, no, he won't get any help on that.
That's right, we won't. But this has been going on for a year and a half, and I think it is particularly, it's really a problem for us really demonstrating that kind of bipartisanship. And, well, I guess we could be blamed. The fact is that we reach out to Republicans on every bill, on every occasion, and, you know, it's really hard to break the ranks there. Now, of course, we do want on occasion. You know, we did have a bill, for example, to help manufacturing. Everyone really believes that we ought to be helping make sure that U.S. manufacturing succeeds. And they're competing in a global market. So one of the things we do typically every couple of years is to help make sure that manufacturers have access to some of the raw products they need. So it's, you know, specific tariff bills, you know, that we do to make sure that they're not disadvantaged internationally. It's always bipartisan. We really work on this together. The leadership, Republican leadership, told their members not to vote for it. And I will say some of them broke with them because they said this is just not going to help the industries in my districts.
Yep.
But that's what the leadership is saying. Don't go along at all, even if it helps create jobs.
Congresswoman, thanks for, just continuing to fight the good fight nonetheless. And now I need you to seriously call my health insurance company since you're a health care warrior. Seriously, find out why the chiropractor not included in the it's, I'm not going to say who. It just sounds like Smantham. And they raised their rates considerably here
Stephanie.
In California. Congresswoman Allison Schwartz of the great state of Pennsylvania. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There
Bye-bye.
She goes. All right. What? Sorry, I hit the button because I'm too low. Because my back hurts because they won't pay for my chiropractor.
Maybe you should
I didn't reach my deductible or something.
Maybe you should have checked that before you went to the chiropractor.
Whatever. They don't cover the acupuncture, nothing. All right. Oh, you know what I hear?
That's because it's all New Age claptrap.
We don't pay for that California hooey. Anything they do to Enya music, no. Not included.
Oh, by the way,
yes.
C.K. Connor just tweeted me and said that my rights to diss on Gordon Lightfoot are hereby revoked.
All right. Mm-hmm. By the way, I do have one exciting thing in my life. First of all, I have awesome hate mail and stuff.
Oh, really?
Because I got targeted by another right-wing website, so that's exciting.
Sweet! Which one?
I have one good thing in my life. Get my Ferris Bueller music ready, please.
Okay,
because the only thing I can do with my cast on is stationary bike.
All right.
So I got, the Ferrari of recumbent bikes, and I came home the other day, it was delivered, and it was, you heard the song from Ferris Bueller in your head. I got a Le Mans. It's a Greg Le Mans recumbent bike. I'm in love with it. I want to date it and kiss it and marry it.
Well, you sit on its face every day.
All right, stop it. 20 minutes after the hour. Oh, we'll tell you about my very exciting listing on a right-wing website as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
A mecca of misdemeanors.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Bum, bum. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. By the way, we welcome KPOJ Portland this week, filling in for their fabulous morning show.
Hooray.
Thank you, Mike Dirks. The Portland, the home of Tom Hartman, the king of Portland.
That must mean it's a smart city.
He has exquisite taste, may I just say, in both cities and broadcasting, because yesterday I heard Tom Hartman mention
Stephanie Miller.
Something he heard on my show that he didn't know.
What?
Check that out.
Well, it must have been about Lady Gaga or something.
No, it was not. It was something I knew about. It was not a fart joke either.
Was it about Lindsay Lohan?
Tom Hartman listens to me for all the information. I'm sure he bases most of his books on things he heard here.
I'll bet you he didn't know that Lindsay Lohan went crazy over the weekend.
It was the Van Jones article in the New York Times. I'm very well read, I'll have you know. He didn't know, because neither did I, that Van Jones never gave permission for his name to be on that 9/11 website that led to his firing. He wasn't even, they finally retracted, but it was too late for our 24-hour gotcha news cycle. That's what Tom Hartman heard on my show. Ha! By the way, we'll have Frank Rich on the big show tomorrow, so
yes. There.
All right. I'm so insecure. All right. Tom has got to be jealous because I've been named, where am I? I'm number 3 on the Human Events. That's a right-wing whack website.
Yes.
I'm number 3. We're
number
3.
We're number 3.
I'm a liberal journalist to avoid, the plague.
Journalist?
That's the part that I enjoyed the most.
Yeah.
Anyway, as you recall, in several days ago, I'm having a red letter week. Several days ago, I triggered the right-wing Warren alert system when I went on the Ed Show. And he asked me about O'Reilly, Beck, and Geraldo going to a Yankees game.
Yes.
And I said, made a little joke. I said, if ever there was a time that they should bring back Bat Day, it was a little joke about, you know, drunken New Yorkers with bats. To which Ed chuckled, because I think that he probably gets that I don't really want them to be beaten by bats. It was a joke. However, it triggered Michelle's moron alert. Michelle writes, do you hope that O'Reilly, Beck, and Geraldo get hit by baseball bats because you're an angry, unattractive, unsuccessful, unmarried, childless loser? Oh, well, Michelle.
Computer says no.
No, it's just because I knew it would make morons like yours head explode.
And you're not that unattractive.
No, she's right about all that except for the angry. As you know, I'm not angry. I'm a happy, clappy liberal. But she's pretty much right about all the other stuff. You're right about the other stuff, Michelle, but no, that's not why.
Childless, yes.
It's
loser,
because,
yes.
It's because morons like your head will explode. That's why I did it. Because you don't get that. It's well, you recall the last time I triggered the moron alert was the... I think it was when Rush said that he hopes Obama fails, and I said on Larry King, I think we can all, one thing we can all agree on is that Rush Limbaugh should be executed for treason. So, oh my God, you want to kill Rush? Okay. All right. The fine Americans at, where is this? Do you get their things, human events?
It's no, but it was sent to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, let's see. Julie first sent this to me. They hate you, Stephanie Miller. They really, really hate you. Look at this, Mama. You're right up there on the right-wing tool newspaper human events list of top five liberal journalists to avoid like the plague.
I'm still stuck on that word, journalists.
You're right. As it's referred to on John Conyers' website, the Stephanie Miller Newscast. You're right up there at number three, right behind MSNBC's Chris Matthews and right-wing's most hated and feared liberal number one, your future husband, Keith Olbermann. Trailing you at four and five are the CNN kids, Joy Behar and Rick Sanchez. Joy Behar back there eating my dust. Hello.
Wait a minute. Rick Sanchez has a conservative streak to him.
Yeah. I don't, well, human events is confused, but All I know is we're number three.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. They write, some so-called journalists are so leftist or progressive. Ooh, they've sussed out. Some sort of liberal slant in liberal radio. Good job.
Wow, that takes some doing.
They completely reinvent and reinterpret facts of various events. No.
No.
What's worse, they often do it in a snarky... Well, yes.
Oh, they hate snark. The right wing hates snark.
They often do it in a snarky, holier-than-thou way. No, I don't think anyone thinks I'm a bigger loser than I do.
No.
I don't think... That's not me holier-than-thou. Making it near impossible to watch without feeling nauseous. Whether you want to call them journalists or propagandists, one day I would prefer fart joke comedian.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever said on a journalist.
Well, radio host.
Given events, but one thing is for sure, these five should be avoided like the plague. All right, and I will read my my little rundown when we get back. And then Lawrence Korb to talk about the WikiLeaks as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Mouth brown hair gives you a headache. Talks like she's chewing her face.
That's her.
She'll be back in a few seconds.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. That's right. I'm one of the five top liberal journalists to avoid like the plague. According to a human events the right wing website. You know what? I'm enough of a journalist that the Assistant Secretary of Defense under Ronald Reagan thinks I'm a journalist.
What?
Larry Korb, one of our personal favorites, joins us now. He is also way above my pay grade. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good morning, sir. So let's talk about these the Afghanistan leaks. At first blush, what is your take on it? I mean, is this endangering American troops? Is this going to seriously hurt the war effort? What do you think?
In terms of looking at, now I haven't been able to get all 90,000 of them, you know, but with the ones I've seen that have been summarized, I don't see how it endangers the troops. It might endanger our foreign policy, but that's a, you know, different, different issue. And it says things that a lot of people have really, you know, felt and some people have written about before, particularly about, you know, Pakistan. And,
right.
You know, if you read David Sanger's book called The Inheritance that he put out at the beginning of the Obama administration, all that information is in there as well. So I, you know, if I were the Obama administration, what I would do is say, see, this is the mess we inherited, and we're trying to make the best of it. But, you know, going prosecuting people, you know, if Richard Nixon, basically when the Pentagon Papers had come out, had said, look, you know, this shows Johnson screwed it up, I'm leaving, instead of, you know, going, you know, trying to catch the people and all that, and of course that was the beginning of the end for him when, you know, the plumbers and everything like that.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that's why the White House is saying I'm not sure that's a good analogy. Do you to the Pentagon Papers? First of all, you know, Obama didn't fight their release, their publication like Nixon did. And I mean, I think that someone else was saying that it doesn't raise basic questions about the credibility of Obama. And I think the other thing they've made, you know, pains to point out is this mostly covers the period before Obama got in office, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it ends in September 2009, and he doesn't make his big decision until December 2009. So, yeah, I mean, it really doesn't hurt them, but I see these officials getting on there and talking about it hurts the troops. And I mean, that's kind of the last refuge of scoundrels, you know, to say, as much as, you know, like when Michael Steele, you know, said his thing and everybody said, well, it hurts the troops. No, it's a good question. You know, it hurts his party, maybe, but it's a good question to debate.
Larry, that's the important thing, isn't it, is that, you know, obviously, you know, you look at polling or, you know, even talk to Democrats, I mean, the support for this war has already fallen. So, I mean, how will this affect anything further, do you think? Because I think that that's the one thing everybody said about Michael Steele is that, you know, it wasn't a war of Obama's making, but he was probably right about the second part. Right.
Yeah, I think so, and I think there's an awful lot of skepticism among Democrats and even Republicans now. I mean, you know, Ann Coulter and you know Michael Steele. So I think that this is a question we really need to debate, and it's a good time because they're voting on the you know the extra funding this year, and you know that you know to get these things on the table. I hope this reinforces Obama's policy of beginning to withdraw next summer.
Well, exactly, because I have to say, you know, let's go over there. I mean, I think that somebody yesterday published basically what the five biggest revelations of the WikiLeaks documents are. You brought up Pakistan. I mean, it seems to me that's one of the biggest things is Pakistani intelligence possibly aiding the Taliban, right? I mean, you know, we've obviously harbored strong suspicions about that, but Pakistan gets even more than $1 billion a year from Washington for its help in combating the militants. And clearly this is not good news.
No, it isn't. I do think the Pakistanis have begun to move away from that, but there was no doubt about it when Musharraf was in there, as I think David Sanger put it in his book. You know, he was with us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday he was with the other side. And I think the Taliban sort of overreached in 2009 that came into what I call Pakistan proper, you know, rather than just staying in the frontier areas, and that kind of galvanized them to take, to take more action. So, yeah, I think that certainly was a problem. That was one of the reasons why we couldn't sort of finish this thing, you know, because these people were getting aid and comfort from the Pakistanis and refuge.
Right. So the drones, obviously, the other thing in these leaks that, you know, obviously that's been sort of lauded by the U.S. military as some sort of panacea. Well, obviously, what we're hearing, at least from these leaks, the drones are less effective than claimed. You know, already a lot of people on the left obviously have a problem with the drones, right?
Right. And again, you know, we all would love to have, you know, if you will, sort of bloodless war where, you know, our young men and women are not endangered. And, you know, this was kind of the magic bullet. You have these drones flying, you got people flying them in Las Vegas and, you know, not exposing things. But, you know, as I think this points out, no, I mean, you know, to finish this thing and if you want to finish it, you're going to have to put people on the ground, which is going to, you know, be a much more difficult thing.
Well, speaking of weapons, so the other thing, 30 years later, the Taliban still has Stingers, which, of course, we gave them during the Soviet war.
In fact, I remember sitting there when I was in the Reagan administration. That was the debate. Our military was opposed to that because they said, you know, if these things get in the wrong hands, it could endanger us. And the Charlie Wilson, if you will, view prevailed, you know, to give them. And that's right. That's what they, you know, the agency would call blowback.
Somebody said, yeah, when will that ever come back to bite us in the ass? I know. I mean, U.S. and Afghan officials covering up civilian deaths, also named one of the biggest, you know, revelations of these leaks. I mean, this is something that, you know, obviously has been a major issue for us, right?
Well, it is, and that's why, General McKiernan and then General McChrystal and now General Petraeus have tried to limit civilian deaths, and they, you know, have restricted the use of air power and firepower. The problem is, if you remember General Petraeus's hearings here, is a lot of mothers and fathers are concerned about their sons and daughters over there because, you know, they can't use this, you know, power, and American casualties have gone up. And I think, you know, that, you know, is the issue, because you're trying to protect the people, convince them you're on their side, but on the other hand, the Taliban are hiding among them, and, you know, so this is a, you know, you need to think these things before you get involved, and that's mm-hmm. part of the problem. We just don't think these things through, then you end up with 100,000 Americans, and your casualties go up, and these people don't seem grateful.
You know, and the weirdest leak, I thought, was the sort of that weird terrorist dating game that bin Laden was matchmaking for insurance for insurgents. Insurgent was reportedly given an Arab wife by bin Laden for his explosive exploits.
Yeah. I mean, you have another issue now with all of these, you know, suicide bombers dying. You know, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda has put out the word that, you know, the surviving people ought to marry these widows.
Right. Right. Yes, I guess in that, you know, what's behind door number 1, 2, and 3 in that particular game. Now, so, Larry, I mean, I think, you know, and again, a lot of this stuff is, you know, things that have either been said or suspected. But do you think it really is going to alter the course of this war or not? I mean, it just it gives you levels of what a mess this is and just, you know, restates that question. What is our mission there? What is winning going to be? How do we wrap this up and get out?
Well, I think what it'll be will define our goals down, which Obama has already done. I mean, he no longer talks about, you know, a peaceful, stable, democratic, you know, Afghanistan. It's more an Afghanistan that's not a, you know, harbors Al-Qaeda and doesn't threaten the region. I mean, and that's basically, you know, I think what your goal is, and that may, I'm sure it will involve some sort of power sharing arrangement with the Taliban, which is going to be tough, particularly for women over there. And, you know, that's going to be hard for us to deal with, but I don't think you really can accomplish much more, as, you know, these papers point out, because to do that, you create more enemies with, you know, using firepower and killing more people.
Mm-hmm. You know, I saw, the name is escaping me, but I saw, you know, but this is becoming more common. I saw a Democratic lawmaker, big supporter of the president, who said, you know, the same thing I've been saying, that, is aware he inherited this mess, another big mess from George Bush, and wanted to give the president time to resolve this. But she said, I can't vote for this anymore. I can't support this. I mean, isn't that going to become more and more the problem?
Oh, it is. There's no doubt about it. I was up last week talking to a group of lawmakers on the Hill, and I was amazed at the vehemence against this policy. And that's why I think the thing that will come out of this is Obama's going to start withdrawing, you know, a year from now. And that's the good thing. It's, you know, won't be like Vietnam or Iraq where we'll just keep doubling down, you
right.
know. So hopefully, you know, that'll do it. And in the interim, you know, you got to work out the best deal you can, and the Pakistanis are going to have to be part of it.
Right.
You know.
Well, Larry, you know, as we always said, the president campaigned on this, that, you know, we've gotten diverted into the wrong war, that he's going to finish the job in Afghanistan. But, you know, when you hear things like there are less than 100 Al-Qaeda there, isn't the job finished? I mean, when is the job finished?
Well, in fact, that, I mean, I think is the key thing. And you've accomplished that goal of getting rid of Al-Qaeda. And now you need to work with the regional powers. I mean, because none of the regional powers want to see an Afghanistan that becomes a haven for Al-Qaeda. I mean, Iran doesn't want to see that. Iran doesn't like all of the, you know, these drugs coming across their border. So it's going to require working with, you know, the Pakistanis, the Indians, the Chinese, and the Iranians to come up with some sort of motive Nevis Vivendi there, and the Pakistanis are going to want the Taliban to have some role in government because they figure that protects them against India.
Yep, absolutely. Larry, always so great to get your take. Larry Korb, who is just way, just slumming so badly on this show. But thank you so much for your time, as always, Larry.
Sure thing,
all right.
Stephanie. Take care. Bye.
There he goes, Larry Korb. Hey, you know what? He worked for Reagan. Now he's on
the good side.
One of the most hated liberal journalists in America. Give me my fine American music.
Yes,
promised
ma'am.
I would read my, this is my weird number three on human events, liberal journalists to avoid like the plague list.
Yeah, I actually tweeted a link to that.
Oh, okay, good.
So.
Stephanie Miller is a nationally syndicated talk radio host who is a frequent guest on network news shows. In an effort to be funny, and relevant, human events has some question marks about me.
Yeah, I have some question marks about them, too.
Miller continues to attack Tea Party members as teabaggers. Yeah, well, they called themselves that, or they did originally.
Yes,
they
did.
Hats with bags hanging in their face.
Yeah.
One can only assume that Miller has some weird sex fantasy to keep bringing this term up.
Do you?
No, not about them.
Oh.
I broke my box again, by the way.
You hit that. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, there it is. All right. One can only assume to keep bringing this term up because surely she doesn't think people. No, I do not. I can say that right now. I do not have a sexual fantasy about any teabagger. No.
Although you did have a fantasy dream about Sean Hannity.
Okay, don't bring that up again. Because surely she doesn't think people actually are amused by it, right? Yeah, actually, a lot of people still are.
Yeah.
Hearing Anderson Cooper say teabagger was funny the first five times he said it on CNN, but by week two, when just about everyone was using the term, it went from mildly amusing to lame. If I want hackneyed comedy from a dunce trying to give me analysis, I'd watch Joy Behar. No, thank you. How dare you? They got my friend Joy in the crossfire there.
Well, Joy's on that list, too.
Yeah, except I'm higher than she is. Dunce, why I never.
You were a salutatorian, I'll have you know.
If you know, I was second in my class at DeSales Catholic High School, Lockport, New York. All right.
Did you ever wear a dunce cap?
I don't recall.
Okay.
47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You people make me sick.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Turn it upside down. Love to hear.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Robert in Palm Springs. Hi, Robert.
Good morning. How are you, Stephanie?
Good, honey. Go ahead.
Good. Well, you mentioned earlier that you were afraid that you would die and be eaten by your dogs.
Yes. Well, I actually will fall and not be able to get up and then be eaten by my dogs.
There's a famous old story from a CD book called Hollywood Babylon, and apparently a silent actress who did not make it in the talkies named Marie Provost, she lost her money, so she was dying alone in a...
Yes.
In an apartment in Hollywood, and after she died, her dog was kind of hungry, and,
Well,
the cops came and found the dog eating her.
Yes. Well, that's going to be me, because, first of all, these guys won't even notice I'm not here, and they won't. You'll just call substitute hosts.
We'll call Hal Sparks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Uh-oh.
Thank you, Robert. I'm very close to that. Thank you.
Well, no, and you're also Norma Desmond, so you're just like two of my heroes.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I'm all the tragic heroines in one. All right. And I have always depended on the kindness of strangers. But
all right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
And I have a dog named Max. Max! Max! Mama's falling.
Max! Max! Max!
You kind of do treat him like a manservant.
I do. I do. Thank you for that cautionary tale. I'm very, very close to that. All right. I broke my box again.
What did you do?
I don't know. All right. Because I can't reach things. I'm down here in this chaise lounge with an analgesic patch on my back. All right. We have Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal, our buddy, our pal from the Boston Globe, coming up in less than a half an hour. All right. Let's do some celebrity stacks. Stop scrunching up your nose at my box.
It looks like nothing's wrong with it.
Well, there is. I've done something. It says hotkey not assigned.
Oh, geez.
I have no hotkey on my box. All right. The New Jersey governor, by the by, not a fan of Jersey Shores, it turns out. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is not a fan of the Jersey Shore. He says the show is negative. It takes a bunch of New Yorkers, drops them at the Jersey Shore, and tries to make America feel like this is New Jersey. No, it's still not working. It's all right. Don't worry about my box. No one else does. All right. Thank you. Anyway, can I just say they were just here, the cast of Jersey Shore, in L.A. My friend did an event with them and sent me a picture.
Right.
And that's a lot of boob in one place.
Yeah.
She was, like, sandwiched by two of the Jersey Shore...
meatheads.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like giant... sacks of she was almost obscured in the picture by a giant Jersey boob.
Which Jersey Shore people?
Snooki and one of the other. I don't watch.
Was it another girl?
Yes.
Jay Wow, probably.
Although the man had big boobs too, right? So that's what you were thinking. It could be either.
Ronnie has big boobs. Yeah. The rest of them, yeah.
I don't know. They were enormous. Anyway, oh, dear God. Not more Mel Gibson.
Oh, God.
Radar Online is foisting yet some more. Oh, boy. Thank God my box is working. I need the bleep button. Some more of Mel's greatest hits, I guess, released. So she used to be with Timothy Dalton, what's her name, Oksana?
I had no idea about that.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, now you do. This one is, did you get my last message about me being a bad father and Tim Dalton being a great dad now? You didn't hear that one? Well, you should go him. You know, you fickle, because I don't care. That one was the C word.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, the game's over. Let the new games begin so you can get it on with anybody else and your son can watch it.
Ooh.
What is it, number 45 he's going to have to look at? Good. Okay, and then the last Mel greatest hit. You're a fake. You're a sham. You don't know what the means to make a man happy. You didn't make me happy. I couldn't make you happy with the best I did for anybody ever, ever, you glum. Wow, glum C word.
Glum? Who uses the word glum anymore?
A glum C word? I've been called a lot of things, but...
You've been called the C word.
Wow! Not a glum one.
No. You're far from glum, actually.
No, I'm happy and clappy. I will shoot a ping pong ball at you if you call me that.
Yeah.
That's no. All right.
Huh?
There's another... unfortunately, Victoria Jackson has blogged again, and...
This is weird. She's off the rails.
She is just weird. She, let's see, there's...
Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Yeah.
The one that wasn't funny then and still not so much.
Funny,
that's been
yeah.
doing the same dumb blonde thing for a thousand years. There is a communist living in the White House. I can't keep up with him. Every time I try to research his newest communistic endeavor, he does a new one. I just can't keep up. With lightning speed, he and his minions are setting fire to the Constitution, looting and pillaging the court system, and hanging Abraham Lincoln from a tree.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
You are an idiot!
Barack Obama, with his communistical tendencies, is hanging Abraham Lincoln from a tree.
Can you be shot and then hung, like, years later?
I'm not really certain. What is this? All this talk about the Constitution, by the way? I heard the drug-addled gas bag yesterday.
Yeah.
The Constitution, we know it's being destroyed by Britain. Did they ever say how?
No.
What is President Obama doing to the Constitution? Exactly. We don't have a Constitution as we know it anymore, my friends. The President, and there's never any example.
Right.
What exactly is not constitutional?
And you know what? The Supreme Court would take care of things if Obama were doing something unconstitutional. It's a far-right Supreme Court.
By the way, that's why they're suing Arizona, because that's not constitutional.
Right.
Yeah. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, back with more Celebrity Stack. Voice deity Jim Ward joins us, and Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I want
Has been banned from the Stephanie Miller Show, but in other hip-hop news, Wyclef Jean is running for president of Haiti.
Jean. Wyclef Jean.
Jean. Jean. Jean.
President d'Haïti.
Yeah, he's from Haiti.
That is significant hip-hop news. StephanieMiller.com, the website where there is no hip-hop news. You can email us all there, though. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Like many people did about their favorite new thing about the Stephanie Miller Show, Mondays with McClurg.
Yep.
A wildly popular edition of Mondays with Edie McClurg yesterday. Charlene writes, Steph, tune in for the first time to hear my friend Edie. What a great way to start Mondays. I live in the great state of Kansas, where Edie McClurg is from.
That's right.
Also the home of the world's largest hand-dug well and the world's second largest ball of twine.
Yes.
Other delightful things that are from Kansas, along with Edie McClurg. What? I broke my box again. I don't know what to tell you.
You're trying to hit the buzzer?
I was trying to hit applause for Edie McClurg, but it says hotkey not assigned again on my...
Hotkey not
what
assigned.
What are you doing over there?
Jim, hot I'm not using mess. My box correctly. Can you help me?
Hot tranny mess not assigned. Hotkey not assigned.
Oh, another 10 thoughts to ponder. Somebody wanted me to repeat a couple of those. John sent them. Give a person a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a person to use the internet. They won't bother you for weeks.
Yeah.
That one. This one. Some people are like a slinky, not really good for anything, but you still can't help but smile when you shove them down the stairs. That's true. Some people we talk about.
Alone and in pairs.
And the number one thought of the day, life is like a jar of jalapeno peppers. What you do today might burn your ass tomorrow. That's true. Like the Stinger missiles in Iraq.
Who could have seen that coming?
Oh, me!
Or in Afghanistan. Afghanistan. Pardon me.
Those don't have an expiration date?
Apparently not. They've not begun to turn, except against us.
Well, someone's probably resupplying the actual missiles to them. They have the launchers for them. I don't know. No, but I read about us, you know, funding these Afghani Muslim extremists to throw the Soviets out. And I thought, really? We're sending them weapons? Is that a good idea?
You think that's good? Do you think that might ever come back to haunt us?
Bite us in the ass?
No. All right. We learned two things yesterday. We are the favorite show of both Tom Hartman and Labradoodles.
What? Excuse me?
Ah.
Melissa in Sonoma writes, my puppy is howling at my laptop as we listen to your show this morning. It's the munchkin version of Sometimes When We Touch that seems to have him really enraptured.
Mm-hmm.
He's a three-month-old Labradoodle. Has been fed your show every weekday since I brought him home a month ago. Somehow, the level of devotion to your show is far more manifest now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Good boy. The puppy loves the bar. Yeah, did you guys notice we fall down the 70s rat hole every summer? I don't know whether it's slow news, but then you can't get out once you fall in the 70s hole. We played some song, Bread, and now we've become the home of wuss rock. And now we've people...
Oh, there's plenty of good rock in the 70s we could play.
I got an angry email from some music aficionado saying that how dare we confuse rock and roll with pop? That we need... I know.
Sorry.
Oh, boy. Sorry.
Dawn...
it's a completely different format! Yeah, well, that's what he was saying. People are stupid.
We're just saying there was a lot of wuss rock. There were a lot of whiny guys...
It's not rock! It's pop.
That had estrogen poisoning. Dawn says, that you already acknowledged Don't Give Up on Us, Baby by David Soul of Starsky and Hutch fame? Yeah, that... Oof, that was whiny. Don't give up on us, baby. Why were every single one of these songs is whining for someone either to come back or not to leave?
They were overcompensating for the women's movement.
It was, you know, they thought they had to be sensitive males to get laid. And they overshot the runway, as I said.
Matt writes, hey guys.
A fiery crash into the bay. Yeah.
They all became hot tranny messes.
Matt writes, what about REO Speedwagon? I can't fight this feeling.
Yeah, this was the 80s.
Anything with a MIDI.
This was the 80s.
That's 80s.
Oh, that's right. 70s wuss rock versus 80s depressing ballads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and then he also nominates Lionel Richie, Hello.
This was the 80s, too. This was actually 1984.
Oh, God. Just the first few chords are depressing. Hello?
And that's a good song.
And this is the video with the blind woman that's sculpting the head of Lionel Richie.
Oh, that's a bit much.
Yeah. And he's singing to her, and she doesn't know that he's there.
Because was this before or after Ghost?
We needed that scene in Ghost to make sculpting sexy again. They were building the giant clay penis together or whatever they were.
It took 6 years for clay work to be sexy again.
All right, and finally, George says, let's not forget the all-time gelded male song of the 70s, Feelings.
Oh, no.
Was that Morris Alpert?
Yes.
Is that, yes.
No relation to Herb.
No.
I'm guessing the Labradoodle has turned the show off at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Trying to forget why, where I left my testicles.
They're inside. They're up.
Yeah.
Get a stepladder.
Yeah. You need some AC/DC to get them to descend again. Yeah.
That was our musical analogy. That's where heavy metal came from. Testicles descending en masse after the 70s.
Actually, AC/DC was around, in the 70s.
Although, did you see the members of Poison on the cover of their first album?
No.
Those are hair bands.
Lip gloss, lipstick, rouge. Mm. Yeah. Mm. I don't know that was an overcompensation.
All right. Let's finish up Celebrity Stack. Madonna has a new...
AC/DC's more of a bar band, anyway. It's like a really successful pub band.
Yeah.
Jim, Madonna has a Material Girl fashion line. It'll be sold exclusively at Macy's. She turned to her 13-year-old daughter, Lola, for help with the designs. Is it me, or has her daughter always looked like 50? No offense, she's beautiful, but she...
The mustache
doesn't
help.
She does not have a mustache.
She has a mustache.
But she was born looking like 45.
She has a mustache and sideburns, swear to God.
What? Really?
Yes.
Mm.
Anyway, Lola designed the horse.
Recessive Genes by Calvin Klein. Since we're talking about the 70s.
Uh-oh. I shouldn't do... You know what? I should not do these stories when the official hypochondriac of the Stephanie Miller Show, Jim Ward, gets here.
Oh, great.
I probably have
it.
I think I have this now, too.
Okay.
Brittany Murphy, remember the actress that died?
Yeah.
And her husband, their deaths could
Simon
have been
Montag.
Partly, caused by mold found in their house.
Yeah. Toxic mold.
I just found mold in my little mini fridge yesterday.
Well, that...
Help, Mommy.
That's not the...
I've had a cough for a while. Maybe...
The actress and her husband died within 6 months of each other. Both deaths attributed to pneumonia. Now the investigation... Because everybody assumed it was some sort of drug-related thing, right? Now the investigation of their deaths being handled by the Department of Public Health, with mold being considered a relevant factor to the respiratory health of the pair, according to TMZ.
Oh, my God.
That's a big problem.
That's all I need now.
Mm. Well, all the leaks in your house, that could be an issue.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. The water gets, in between the drywall and the studs, and toxic mold can totally grow there.
Mm-hmm. Great. That'll be good, just in time for my foot to get healed. I'll have something new to look forward to.
Well, if you die of pneumonia, we'll just call in House Parks.
You don't care. You have a long list of fill-in hosts now. All right. And finally, delisted headline, don't mess with a nerd in a Harry Potter T-shirt. Where did this happen? Of course, at Comic-Con.
Yes.
I just talked to Elvira, our friend. She was down at Comic-Con in San Diego last weekend.
I have a few friends that were down at Comic-Con.
Yes.
I had friends down there wondering why I wasn't there signing autographs.
You should have been there. Anyway, it's probably good that you weren't. Blood has been shed at Comic-Con in San Diego.
There was a stabbing.
Blood came from a dude who refused to move seats right before the panel for Resident Evil Afterlife.
Oh, boy.
The two men got in an argument about one sitting too close to the other. Two friends had an argument. One guy ended up going to the hospital with a scratch near his eye. One of the men reportedly struck the other man near the eye with a pen. D-listed writing, the shanker of Comic-Con was going to stab his friend in the eye with the knife from his rare mint-conditioned G.I. Joe spearhead action figure, but he didn't want to take it out of its packaging, so he used a pen instead. Everybody's fine now. Everybody's fine. All right.
Yeah, there's some fiery.
There's nothing worse than an angry nerd.
At Comic-Con.
Yeah.
All right.
He's from Slytherin. It's not from... Gosh, you're so stupid. Don't you remember page 247 of book 6?
Might I have... It's time for a guess the quote for Jim Ward. Might I have my... Why, thank you.
Oh.
Jim, who said for a couple of years... It was the love that dared not speak its name. In 2008, Republican candidates hardly ever mentioned the president still sitting in the White House. After the election, the GOP did its best to shout down all talk about how we got into the mess we're in, insisting we need to look forward, not back. And in many ways, the news media played along, acting as if it was somehow uncouth for Democrats to even mention the Bush era and its legacy. Who said that?
Ted Haggard.
It was not part of his over-repenting, no. Paul Krugman.
Oh.
Our buddy, yeah. Pal, in a fabulous new article entitled Addicted to Bush. Which is definitely not about Ted Haggard. Jim, who said
Might
the truth?
Well, face it, you're addicted. Anyway, yes.
Mm-hmm. The truth, however, is that the only problem Republicans ever had with George W. Bush was his low approval rating. They always loved his policies and his governing style, and they want them back. In recent weeks, GOP leaders have come out for a complete return to the Bush agenda, including tax breaks for the rich and financial deregulation. They've even resurrected the plan to cut future Social Security benefits. Who said that?
Milton Friedman.
No, Paul Krugman, addicted to Bush, is the...
Okay, exactly
the
opposite.
All right, one last round. Who said, but they have a problem? How can they embrace President Bush's policies, given his record? After all, Mr. Bush's two signature initiatives were tax cuts and the invasion of Iraq. Both in the eyes of the public were abject failures. Tax cuts never yielded the promised prosperity, but along with other policies, especially the unfunded war in Iraq, they converted a budget surplus into a persistent deficit. Meanwhile, the WND we invaded Iraq to eliminate turned out not to exist, and by 2008, a majority of the public believed not just that the invasion was a mistake, but that the Bush administration deliberately misled the war nation into war. What's a Republican to do? Who said that?
Morton Downey Jr.
No! Paul Krugman, addicted to Bush.
Maury Povich?
No. 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 This is one of the best... Can I have my Fine American Music? One of the best pieces not surprisingly, from Paul Krugman about this whole tax cut issue. He says, on the economy last week, Mitch McChinless... I'm sorry, he didn't say that, I did. Yertle. McConnell.
Yeah.
The Senate Minority Leader declared... that there's no evidence whatsoever the Bush tax cuts actually diminish revenue. They increase revenue because of the vibrancy of these tax cuts in the economy. So now the word that the Bush-era economy was characterized by vibrancy? I guess it depends on the meaning of the word vibrant. The actual record of the Bush years was 2.5 years of declining employment, followed by 4.5 years of modest job growth at a pace significantly below the 8-year average under Bill Clinton, followed by a year of economic catastrophe. In 2007, at the height of the Bush boom, as it was, median household income adjusted for inflation was still lower than it had been in 2000. But the Bush apologists hope you won't remember all that, and they also have a theory, which I've been hearing more and more, namely that President Obama, though not yet in office or even elected, caused the 2008
right.
slump. We have heard this. Yes. You see, people were worried in advance about his future policies,
right.
And that's what caused the economy to tank. Seriously. On the deficit, Republicans are now claiming that the Bush administration was actually a paragon of fiscal responsibility, and the deficit is Mr. Obama's fault. Yeah. Finally, on the war, for most Americans, the whole debate about the war is old, if painful news, but not for those obsessed with refurbishing the Bush image. Karl Rove now claims his biggest mistake was letting Democrats get away with the shameful claim that the Bush administration hyped the case for invading Iraq. Let the whitewashing begin. Again, Republicans aren't trying to rescue George W. Bush's reputation for sentimental reasons. They're trying to clear the way for a return to Bush policies. And this carries a message for anyone hoping the next time Republicans are in power, they'll behave differently. If you believe they've learned something, say about fiscal prudence or the importance of an effective regulation, you're kidding yourself. You might as well face it. They're addicted to Bush. Paul Krugman.
On MSNBC, they've been running part of Bush's first, I guess it was State of the Union, when he said, we got to get rid of this surplus.
We got to get rid of this surplus.
The reason we overtaxed.
Like, that was a problem. Yeah. Did you see that?
Part
of the problem with this growing surplus.
And that means the unions are going to get uppity.
I'm here to ask for a refund on behalf of the American people.
Yeah.
Thank you. Here you go, giant deficit.
He said, he's on tape saying the surplus was bad.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of huge deficits again.
It's because we, overtaxed.
Good plan.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, Chris,
yes.
Had I gotten a long stroke, I think the masseuse would have admired my P90X body, don't you think?
Yes. How do you feel after 90 days of P90X?
I feel magical. I do.
She looks magical.
I feel stronger. I feel more confident. It is a miracle. It really is. You have to try it to know what we're talking about. You've heard a lot of the people writing us, people calling. You've read magazine stories about it. Now you got to try it. You just have to try it with Mama. And here's what you do. You can get a 90-day radio exclusive in-home trial. You can try it with me for the full 90 days. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a refund. It is a full program, isn't it, Christopher? You've been doing it.
Absolutely.
You get strength training, cardio, yoga, a nutrition program.
Yes.
And you get magic.
Stephanie looks so good naked. You can see the pictures at johnfuglesang.com.
I don't know what he's talking about. Call 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or go right to stephaniemiller.com. Click on that there P90X banner ad, won't you?
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Is it time to get popping?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, baby. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Get up. Get it poppin'. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, boys.
Boy.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce from the Boston Globe, author of Idiot America, coming up in just a few minutes.
He's wicked smart.
Yay for America. We just read from Paul Krugman's piece, Addicted to Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Some breaking Pew poll news. People like Obama's policies better than Bush. American people paying attention. Thank God. 46% to 29% the American people prefer policies of Barack Obama. As bad as things are, we're still not out of the hole.
Would have been worse if we had John McCain.
But yes, it's true. But we did accomplish getting rid of that awful surplus. Thank you, George.
Yes.
Surplus. Remember, that was our biggest problem? That awful surplus.
Dang surplus. That means rich people are paying too many taxes.
I want to hear to ask for a refund.
You got a refund. That's right. But I don't want them union folk getting all uppity, wanting pensions again, or living wage, or communistical stuff like that. Surplus.
Tim,
I hate surpluses.
Tim Geithner talking about the tax cuts for the
right thing for the country, the fair thing, the responsible thing for the country now is to make sure we leave in place and preserve tax cuts that go to more than 95% of working Americans and complement those with a set of incentives for businesses to expand and hire. To make that possible and to do that responsibly, I think it is fair and good policy to allow those tax cuts that only go to 2 to 3% of the highest earners in the country to expire as scheduled. The country can withstand that. The economy can withstand that. I think it's good policy.
Yay.
And he said the economy not likely to slip back into recession but letting the tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans expire necessary to show commitment to cutting budget deficits. He said only 2 to 3% of Americans will be affected.
Yeah, but that'll mean we'll have a surplus again sometime. Hate surpluses.
So I think the most likely thing you'll see an economy that gradually strengthens over the next year or two. You'll see job growth start to come back, investments expanding, but we've still got a long way to go still. Right-wing tools like Mike Pence would take us right back to the Bush years.
Democrats in Washington are now actually talking about embracing what would be the largest tax increase in American history.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that again. After 18 months of runaway spending, bailouts, and takeovers, Washington Democrats are poised to allow the largest tax increase in American history to take effect next year.
I'll be a monkey's uncle. Doesn't that just take
the
cake?
Yes, well, the taxes still wouldn't be as high as under Ronald Reagan. For instance.
Or Eisenhower.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go back to Eisenhower.
That commie.
Tax rates. Ugh, unbelievable. All right. Ugh, I did that panel with him.
Mike Pence. Eisenhower? Wow.
Yes, I'm that old. Mike Pence. I did a panel on the Fairness Doctrine. Tom Harmon and I did.
Your father may have done a panel with Eisenhower.
Yes, he did. I did one with Mike Pence and Roger Hedgehog.
Cock.
Excuse me?
Roger Hedgehog. You keep getting that wrong.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Do we have Tourette syndrome or something? Okay. We just kept shouting out things. Mm-hmm.
All right. Charlie Pierce from the Boston Globe, humorist extraordinaire, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's why choosy mothers choose
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. It's Tuesday. You know
There's
that
only
means.
One man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce. Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Hey, have you ever tried really reaching out to the other side?
Get it.
Then I'd be climbing on rainbows.
Get it.
Oh, boy. Maybe here goes.
All right. Okay.
This really blows. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie, hey, for falling down the 70s rabbit hole with us.
Oh, I'll tell you. Back in my misspent youth, in my college days, in the summers, I was a forest ranger.
Yes.
And the only company I had out. Yes. The only company I had out in the woods, besides the birdies and the little animals, was an AM transistor radio. So if there was a piece of schlock that hit top 40 at 72 and 73, it's imprinted on my brain. Brandy by Looking Glass.
Brandy,
it's,
yes.
It's Too Late to Stop Now by Hamilton, Joe Frank, and Reynolds.
I cannot ever
turn back now.
Talk to you again.
Treat Her Like a Lady by Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose.
Wow.
I can't ever talk to you the same again without picturing you in Smokey Bear's outfits.
I did not have a hat, but I did have a nice khaki shirt with a patch on the arm.
Sweet. Ranger.
What forest did you range?
Douglas State Forest in Massachusetts.
Wow.
Good job. Way to go.
A government worker, I might add.
Yes.
Yogi, what if the ranger sees us?
No, that's not although judging by the Dana Priest series on the intelligence community, the difference between like the Middlesex County Road Department and the intelligence community is not vast.
Yeah.
You know, don't hire 3 people to do a job when you can hire 51.
So,
I have a vision of these guys all standing around the White House Situation Room, leaning on shovels and smoking cigars and wondering who went out for the donuts.
Yeah.
Charlie Pierce, so what do you call it? BP has finally fired Tony Hayward.
Get out with your millions of dollars right now.
Exactly.
Don't you and your golden parachute ever darken our doorstep again.
Oh, please. Carly Fiorino laughs at his golden parachute.
So yesterday.
Carly Fiorina had one for her dog, I believe. Every member of her family, her dog, random strangers.
No, his seriously probably makes her golden parachute seem so yesterday, don't you think?
Well, his comes along with a gag, which just makes it more expensive. Because you think we're ever going to hear from Tony Hayward again, you're out of your mind.
Yeah. I love that they tried to. It's like Folger's crystals. They replaced him with an American. So we. Oh, now BP's an American company.
Oh, it's okay now because I trust American oil men.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bob Dudley. Bob Dudley is here.
Bob Dudley. A good American sounding name, too.
Yeah, he's the one that's been in charge of the response so far. So, yeah, I think we can all agree that's been going fabulously well.
Somewhere in the Gulf, millions of mutant oysters are applauding. Hey, we got an American in charge now. All right. Okay.
They're plotting arms they just grew. Which...
Forget the fact that we suddenly have tails. What's that about?
I'm not laughing at that.
And you know what? I'm going to start eating people.
Yes.
So I can regain my manhood.
I don't know what you're talking about, Charlie Pierce.
Either.
Let's move on.
You need oysters to be like virile.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
That's right. Oh, they're aphrodisiac. Yes.
Ask the mooks if you don't know what I mean.
It makes you horny. It doesn't make you grow a. You know, I'm just saying, you have to have one of those already.
Well, one does hopefully entail the other as we go further down. You want me to sing that bread song again?
Yes, go ahead. I think it's best we go back to the 70s again. All right. So these WikiLeaks, the Afghanistan, I was just talking to Larry Korb earlier in the show. I mean, a lot of this stuff is things that the left has already been saying, right?
Yeah, but the level of detail, I think, is what's important. You know, and of course, the notion that, hey, who would have known that leaving a bunch of Stinger missiles lying around the most volatile part of the world might come back to bite us sooner or later? Did we do anything to secure those weapons after the Russians walked out of there?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I know.
It's like you can go to the Walmart in Kandahar and buy a couple of boxes of cereal and a Stinger. But it goes to show
what a mess this really is. I mean, and I think the biggest thing is, oh, you mean all the money we're giving Pakistan? Oh, you mean they're using that to help the Taliban? Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And I, what I'm afraid is going to happen, and it's already started, is that the story in this country is going to be how these things were leaked.
Right.
And how terrible that is. And not what the documents actually say.
And what did Shirley Sherrod have to do with it, exactly?
Well, that's very, yes. That's very true. Although I'm telling you, there are some things that they do that you can't even laugh about. That guy yesterday who said Shirley Sherrod was lying because the guy she was talking about was actually beaten to death and not hung, and therefore it wasn't a lynching, that's an all-timer for me.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that story, it's just unbelievable. They have no idea how to just apologize and move on,
No, they don't, and they don't know how to deal with somebody who won't behave the way she's supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She's not letting this go.
Right.
She's supposed to fade away now. She's a noble victim. But she's not going to be a noble victim. She's going to raise hell for as long as she can.
Yeah, oh, I wouldn't. I've been bitter for a long time. I'd be, for God's sakes, I would just...
By the time I got to the fifth grade, I was very bitter. Very, very bitter. A bitter, bitter person.
Yeah, so this would... I'd be dining out on this forever if it were me. Charlie, what else is Charlie? Speaking of Charlie's, Charlie Rangel.
Yeah, Charlie Rangel.
Time for Charlie to go to the dog track with his name pinned to his sweater, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Charlie Rangel yesterday. Take a listen.
I can only hope that all the facts come out before my primary and before my general election. I said it's like a boil that's been building up for close to 2 years, and it's going to burst on Thursday. It may not be pleasant, but it's going to give me a sense of relief. At least we'll know where we're going. But it's painful to have to say no comment when people are attacking the very, very reason that you exist.
He was at a rave, of course.
I was about to say, was he doing his press conference at a nightclub?
Yeah, it sounded like the Starlight Room at the Flamingo.
You have to love any member of Congress who comes with his own soundtrack. You got to love that.
So obviously, House members are prodding him to make a deal with the Ethics Committee before charges are unveiled. I guess he could remain in Congress by accepting a previous offer from the Ethics Committee, which included an apology. But obviously, he doesn't want to, right?
Well, I don't think he wants to. I don't know enough about the details of the case to make it, to really even crack wise about it. But it does seem that this was a fairly dispassionate investigation, and that he does have some real problems, and he will be a millstone because he will be made into one.
Well, and that's what they're saying, is they believe he's dragging his feet because he wants total vindication, but they think that's exactly right. They say they think that's going to be futile, and it's going to add to their problems in November.
Yeah, and I mean the Republican Party has been waiting for payback from Mark Foley for 4 years now, and now this will probably be it. Even though the two situations aren't remotely analogous, we know how well that works.
Yeah.
We know how well arguing logic works these days.
Yeah, exactly. So what else is grabbing your attention these days? We've got to, you can almost fill in the blank on any news story. Like, the president, implored the Senate to pass campaign finance reform. And it's going to face, of course, a solid wall of Republican obstructionism.
Well, I mean, they went in the tank on the climate bill. That doesn't exist anymore. But what's really, I've really been noticing is the sudden unashamed calls for watch what we're going to do when we get the majority back.
Yeah.
Stuff about investigations.
Yeah.
Daryl Issa is laying on, eight bozillion staffers. Michelle Bachmann's calling for it. If you like the 1990s, folks, you're going to love 2011.
Oh, Charlie, please. I mean, I've got to say, I hope people are paying attention because they're saying it. She actually said, I think that's all we should do.
Right.
Is issue subpoenas and have investigations. I mean, if you really think that's what we need in this economy and where this country is right now, then, God help us.
Yeah, because, the 1990s were a carnival of that stuff, and this is going to be worse because the people involved in it are worse. There were, on the whole, two or three sensible Republicans back in the 90s. They didn't have any influence. They couldn't stop anything, even though people tried. But they were there. There aren't any of those left. There is not a single Republican you can trust to park your car. Right.
Well, and that's why this campaign finance is so important. Listen to the president yesterday.
Millions of Americans are struggling to get by, and their voices shouldn't be drowned out by millions of dollars in secret special interest advertising.
Which is exactly why the Republicans want it. Did you hear, Charlie, this slimy rove shadow RNC that because Michael Steele's such an incompetent boob, they have already raised 97% of their money from four billionaires.
I was going to say they have like four donors, right? But
yep.
They're really good ones.
Right.
As Spencer Tracy says in that movie, there ain't much meat on her, but what's there is churse. We don't have any donors, but ones we have are churse.
Yeah, and get this. Two of the billionaires made their fortune in oil and gas.
No!
Let's try and guess whether there'll be any more regulation.
Are they Americans? Because I trust American oil men more than foreign oil men.
Me too. Oh, look, it's an American in charge now. Another of the four billionaires was the sole founder of a group that ran ads attempting to tie Obama to Bill Ayers in 2008. Rove acknowledged earlier this month his group raises money successfully largely because of the Supreme Court decision in Citizens United, which...
And if you missed the Adam Liptak piece in the New York Times this weekend about the Roberts Court, everybody should read it because it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Roberts Court has...
I saw that.
...radically wrenched that thing to the right.
Yeah.
Especially on issues of... I mean, particularly on issues of the corporate relationship to the economy. And to politics, and that's what you're seeing now, I think, is this, you know. And by the way, MSNBC, you know, we like MSNBC because of some of the people they have on. We like Ed because we like to catch big fish and shoot little animals, and we like Chris Matthews on the occasions where he's not insane, and we like Keith because I've known Keith for 30 years back when we were both sports people, and we like Dr. Maddow because she's Dr. Maddow. If you're going to discuss race in America, no more Pat Buchanan, please.
Yes. I know.
I mean, there's a reason why you don't. Why you don't see Charlie Manson in shows about, you know, gynecological surgery. There is a reason for that.
Yeah, I have to say, every time they go to him on a race issue, I flash to that piece he wrote about how, you know, black people should thank us for the nice boat ride to America.
He started out writing white supremacist editorials for the St. Louis Globe Democrat, and he's never changed.
Yeah.
This is not the, you know, the other end of respectable opinion, and I don't care how avuncular he is and how much people like him, Eugene Roberts is going to come in there with an axe.
Yeah, seriously, that was the jaw dropper. I'll never forget. We quoted from that. Remember that story, Jim? They literally, like, black people should thank us. We brought them to the greatest country in the world. What?
It was practically a carnival cruise. They should have loved it.
One of Kathy Lee Gifford's ancestors was on were on those boats.
I think of that great Randy Newman song, Sail Away, where the guy goes over and starts as a salesman for the Africans to come over, and all you do is sit around drink wine and sing about Jesus all day. That's what this is. But please, MSNBC, understand what you're doing here. You can find somebody else to take an opinion. The guy is a white supremacist. He always has been.
Yep.
And he always will be. But apparently he's a nice guy. He was on with Squint in the empty sweater this morning.
Squint in the empty sweater. That's our favorite morning joke. All right.
But you know what? Pat Buchanan has been on this show, and he's actually charming, you know, once you get away.
No less a witness than the late Hunter Thompson said he was a great guy.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I know.
The thing is he says things that are so right on, you know, what did Eric Boehner say that to us yesterday? Once every 6 years.
Yeah.
I mean, but in the middle of it, Charlie, he'll be like, we should never have gotten into Iraq. It was the wrong war. That's what I said to a darkie. What? No! No! You know what I mean? You're like, what? Wait a minute. The first part? No! But you're right. Don't go to him on issues of race. It's like...
No, and I would stay away on issues involving Israel, too. But
that too.
I know.
Because, he's every old Catholic blowhard I ever knew growing up.
Exactly. Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal, author of Idiot America, now out in paperback from the Boston Globe. We'll see you next Tuesday. Honey.
There's a port by the western bay.
Say Brian Lee.
Goodbye.
All right, then. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
What a good wife you would be.
I like that song.
But it's
about a whore on the dock.
It's a romantic...
And your point is?
It's a romantic song about a dirty dock whore.
Yeah.
48 minutes.
That's why I like it.
Help! We followed in the 70s again and we can't get off. 48 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
More fun than a barrel of monkeys, moron.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Dusty.
Is the sea.
Oh,
in the
boy.
70s, lady was spelled with a couple of E's and A's at the end. Lady.
I love you, but I'm a seaman.
What?
This lady is the
balls.
Sea.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were being Tourette's again.
This lady is the sea. 53 minutes after the hour. 1-800. Sure, I've heard that before. 1-800, you're with the sea till 3 a.m., sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why you smell like kelp.
1-800-STEP-1-2-D.
With the sea.
Phone number toll-free from anywhere. How about that Netroots convention out there? A good time was had by all, I understand.
Yes.
My buddy Ed Schultz was out there.
Our Wednesday pal Carl Frisch was out there.
Mm-hmm. What do you call it? Marcos Melitzis spoke, of course. Mm-hmm. He's like the godfather, isn't he? Of the, you know, the founder of Daily Kos. He's the interwebs is my point. The liberal interwebs.
Sure.
Given the likelihood of Democrats losing seats in the House and the Senate, it might seem a little odd. Progressives have a new passion, according to folks at the Netroots convention, urging the Senate to change the filibuster rule, which, as usual for us, might be a little too late. We don't see if we lose the... That's the thing.
We'll
if Democrats stay
time.
Home... Yeah. Right, that's what I'm saying. If they stay home and we don't get Democrats back in, then it's like, oh, they... Marco said if we eliminate that, we don't have to worry about getting 60 votes to pass comprehensive immigration reform or other progressive goals. Well, yes, but that will entail keeping or getting more Democrats in and not...
Mm-hmm. And we're going to be losing some Dems. That's just a given.
Filibuster reform is the single most important thing Democrats must do in January when they organize the new Senate, said Marcos. The inertia created in the Senate is what is jeopardizing Democrats and progressives' opportunities in the midterms, said Raul Grijalva.
Raul Grijalva.
Who is Tom Brokaw's favorite
congressman. He's a great congressman from Southern Arizona.
Co-chair of the Progressive Caucus. It's not our lack of action. It's been their lack of action, which is true. I have suggested many times disbanding the Senate, but people seem to think that's not in the Constitution or
whatever.
Something.
Another problem that no one's talking about. Is that the vote counting machinery is still in place. Here in California, you know, for the past few years, we have the Inca Dot thing, but now it goes into an optical scanner, which can
really?
Be hacked. Yes,
really?
Yeah, that way for the past several years.
The good news is the RNC is still being run by Michael Steele.
That's how I roll, baby. Lesbians on swings.
They should try that. It might be the best slogan they could go with in the midterms.
Huh?
Lesbians on swings.
Why not? The Republican Party. At least we have lesbians on swings.
So did you see who...
To get to that place in the right night of the week.
Did you see who he invited? In fact, we should go to this out here. It's out here at the, the Beverly Wilshire in Beverly Hills. You are cordially invited to the Republican National Committee's election countdown featuring confirmed guest Andrew Breitbart.
Oh.
Special guest. Uh-huh. That's who Michael Steele invited.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, that's very close to West Hollywood, where that particular
that club
lesbians
is.
Lesbians and swings.
Yeah.
It's just weirdly.
He might just make a little detour.
Yeah, just right over the...
That's how he rolls.
That is how he rolls, clearly. All right. Senator Harry Reid, by the way, at the Netroots convention.
Now, I know
Vegas.
You wish some of these reforms were even more sweeping. And believe me, I do, too. But we also have to be realists. I wish we had a public option. But we're going to have a public option. It's just a question of when.
I don't know why his speaking style just doesn't really inspire.
I just want to inspire people to really go out and vote as if it mattered, which it probably doesn't.
Well, the other really good news for us, though, is all their candidates appear to be somewhat...
Insane?
Crazy. By the way, Sharon Angle will not make much of a senator, but I think the Olympics may be an option if there isn't a doping scandal. That run through the... She can run through a parking structure like nobody's business. Harry Reid is jumping on some of the gaffes of Sharon Engel, painting her as not mainstream.
Boy,
he
harsh
said,
words.
Anyone in Nevada that wants nuclear waste to come to Yucca Mountain is not in the main line of what Nevadans want. Anyone that wants to do away with the Department of Energy, anyone who wants to get rid of Social Security, privatize it, they're not in the mainstream of Nevada. For her to call the people who are unemployed spoiled, that's really, I don't think, where we are in Nevada. If they want to call her an extremist, that's up to them. Yes, we do.
Okay, she wants to get rid of alcohol and bring in nuclear waste. There's a platform.
Run on that, Nevada. Run on it. Yeah, and plus she's just a big liar. She's like, I never said I wanted to end Social Security. And there she is right on tape.
Yep.
I think we need to start phasing out Social Security and privatize it. That's what she said. I gotta go. No more questions. 58 minutes after the hour, we have a rollicking right-wing world. No, they will they let go of the Shirley Sherrod?
Oh, God, no.
No, computer says no. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
When are those Steph cams going in? Jim just tried to violate me on my mobility scooter.
I was stabilizing you so you wouldn't fall off.
Thank you. Please think of me as your bowling ball, won't you? Thank you.
Those cams,
he was helping me up. I almost fell off my mobility scooter on the way to the bathroom.
By the way, those cameras might be going in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. StephanieMiller.com, the regular old horse-drawn website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Here's something I learned, Jim.
Hmm.
My health insurance company, I won't say the name, it sounds like Schmantham.
Mm-hmm.
Who recently, you know, raised quite a bit in California. They don't cover anything where they play Enya music during the treatment. My chiropractor, acupuncturist, no. Because my back keeps going out because of my broken foot and my crutches.
Maybe you should have checked that out before you went.
I think Enya's what did it.
Enya?
I didn't mind the needles in my face. The Enya music was enough. That was it.
Enya is awesome.
Yeah.
See?
That's when I realized how bad my life was. I looked like a Hellraiser, and I'm there with like 16 needles in my fan, Enya playing. I'm like, oh, dear God, let me out of here.
Yeah, I have two different health insurances for SAG and AFTRA, and they really make you jump through hoops now to try to get.
Yeah, I haven't met my deductible or something, and they don't cover they don't cover any hippy-dippy California stuff, apparently.
No, they don't. They used to cover acupuncture.
All right. Guess what, fine Americans? You can come see. By the way, we welcome KPOJ Portland. All this week, we're filling in for their fabulous morning show, home of Tom Hartman, the king of Portland, who I will be with in Seattle. Hey, if you're in Portland, come see us in Seattle. When's that? We're coming up August 14th.
I didn't realize Oregon was a monarchy.
It is ruled by Tom Hartman.
Mm.
Anyway, you can come see Tom Hartman, Stephanie Miller, Norman Goldman, Randy Rhodes, Mike Malloy, and special guest Ron Reagan at the Seattle Town Hall we have every year. That's August 14th. Go to the calendar section of StephanieMiller.com to find out how to get tickets to that. Come see Mama. All right. Oh, a little Sue has sent us some beaver stack. Oh, heavens. They always send, photographic evidence, so I believe them.
Mm-hmm.
This for the beaver stack. City officials in Santa Rosa, California can't figure out why these two street signs are the most stolen ones in town. This is the intersection of Beaver Street and Cherry Street.
Oh, dear. I've been there.
Really? I heard that.
You've probably been there a few times.
My dad grew up in Santa Rosa.
Oh.
You know, if this radio thing doesn't work out, if history's any guide, it won't. Here's a job for me. Poland's professional vodka. I'm a Polak and a drinker.
Yes, you are.
Poland's professional vodka drinkers take their job seriously with shifts starting at 6 a.m.
Oof. Mm. Drinking vodka
Poland's,
at 6 a.m.?
This is Poland's going to be an army event. Of vodka tasters.
Well, hell, I think I've had vodka at 6 a.m. before.
Sure. To get rid of the headache.
No, I think it was still from the night before, you know.
Oh, it was still.
It was still nighttime, according to my body clock.
More likely, this will be me. Bank robber wore clown pants and fake breasts.
What?
or this will be my future husband. Authorities say a Pittsburgh area man robbed a bank wearing a woman's blonde wig, fake breasts under a sweater, and clown pants. I guess so as not to draw attention to himself while he robbed the bank. All right. And now, a story about a bear.
Another one?
Uh-huh.
Bears are always... Bears have been in the news.
I don't know why. You just sent me these to make me happy. Jim, a bear, got into an empty car in Colorado, honked the horn, and then sent it rolling 125 feet into a thicket with the bear still inside.
A thicket?
17-year-old Ben Story said he and his family were asleep when the bear managed to unlock the door of his 2008 Toyota Corolla. Oh, those are not bear-proof, just so you know, if you have a Toyota Corolla.
They can open those like a tin can.
Oh, are you kidding me? A peanut butter sandwich left on the back seat is probably what attracted the bear.
That'll do it.
He's smarter than the average bear. Hey!
He didn't want a picnic basket. He wanted that sandwich.
Deputies freed the bear by opening the door with a rope from a distance that then ran into the woods. Story said he will need a new car because the bear trashed the interior while trying to find a way out.
Those darn bears.
Yeah, darn bear, he got the sandwich. He trashed
I've
the Toyota Corolla.
I've seen a film of them in Yosemite actually taking out the weather stripping and removing the window rather than smashing it. They figured out they can get...
Yeah, don't leave food in your car.
That's smarter than the average bear.
The president, the bear also left what Story called a present on the driver's seat.
Mm. Oh.
That's a bad day when your Corolla gets trashed and you get a bear poo.
No, it's full of berries. I mean, you know, it could be worse.
That's probably a funny bear video. Not as funny as the kitten we put on my website eating a watermelon.
No, kitty, don't eat the rind.
No, kitty, don't do it. You stupid cat.
I wonder if the bear removed the crusts from the sandwich before he ate it.
Stephanie and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Great show.
Thank you.
You know, Harry Reid and...
Your bar for entertainment is very low, and that's what we love about you.
Well, you're funny. You've made some just great... I spit coffee up earlier.
Oh, good.
So anyways,
good.
But Harry Reid and Timothy Geithner, I don't know. It's like when they start speaking, it's like I've taken Ambien. They just put me right out... I can't focus on these guys.
You know, I didn't sleep all night last night, Steph. I should have thought of that. I should have played the Harry Reid Netroots speech over and over on a loop.
Yeah, I need to tune into Charlie Rose. He had Geithner on for a whole hour. Oh, my God, it was enough. I couldn't take it, but it did put me to sleep. So.
You know, and I'm a big public option girl. Only Harry can make that not sound exciting. We're going to get a public option.
We will someday get a public option.
Although, exactly. We need to fight for his win.
Yes.
We need to fight for his win in November.
Or we get
angled. Yes, we can.
Jeez.
Yes, we can. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Mama. Hey, two things before my comment.
Yes.
Number one, someone called up and said you were unattractive, or the email.
Oh, actually, she said, is it because you're an unattractive, angry, childless loser that you said what you did about O'Reilly and Beck?
I mean, you are cuter than Ben Stein.
Cuter than what?
Cuter than Ben Stein.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Without a doubt. And also, you have yet to talk about the worst 70s slop rock of all time, Operator by Jim Croce. You've been more than kind.
Oh, yeah.
Living with my best ex-friend, Ray, I've just called to say I've overcome the load. I'm doing fine.
Oh, so wait. So the tramp ran off with his friend, and he's calling anyway just to see how they're doing?
Yeah, we'll just let him know that he's overcome the load and he's doing
good.
Fine.
But that's not how it feels.
Now you did it. Now you went and asked for it. Never underestimate Chris's jukebox.
It's got a bit of a long intro. Here it comes.
Operator, could you help
me make a call?
All right. Yes, go ahead, buddy. You had a point about...
Hey, Mama. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh, no, this is more for Jim.
Yes.
How do you misplace $8.7 billion?
From the Iraq War, yes.
In the Iraq War. They just figured out they lost 8.7. I mean, if I was a conspiracy person, I would think that maybe people were skimming money.
What?
What?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That never happens.
I thought, well, Jim, wasn't this about oil and freedom and weapons of mass destruction?
Yes. We had to stop him from using his weapons of mass destruction. It's so obvious. If you won't admit that, you must be a communist, or a Muslim, or both.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we hang. Oh, boy. The Glenn Beck conspiracy theories, they all come around to him eventually.
Yes.
And what's going to happen to him and what you can do for him.
And so if they take me down, you have to be standing. If they take me off the air, if they take me off radio or television, and mark my words, they will.
Yay.
They will.
I'm coming to your house.
Oh, what?
Huh?
I'm
what?
Coming to your park. I'm coming to your church. I'll come to your school. I'll come to your car. I'll come where anybody will come and listen.
Yeah.
If I am just mowing my lawn and you drive by my house and I am completely unemployed, and you drive by and your window's open, you'll hear me preaching it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Why do I get the...
yards.
Yeah,
a good
and
idea.
I'll call the police.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Call the cops on your ass.
Hey, kids.
I was going
to
say.
I used to be on TV. You want to see something?
Mind if I sit on this park bench?
I've got candy in my trench coat.
Want to see what else is in my raincoat?
He totally looks like a pedophile. Yeah. Oh, my God. You've nailed it.
Hey, kids. Come to my house for some candy.
Come to your park bench. Okay. You know what? I have a feeling that, not because of censorship, but someone might come to take him away at some point.
To take me away.
Just somewhere to rest a little bit.
Take me away. Well,
I'm sorry, Glenn. Your buttons are saying what are you? Your buttons are screaming what?
I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away.
They might come take him just because he might be, you know, danger to himself and others. You know, that sort of thing. That kind of thing. Just for his own good. All right, the drug-addled gas bag. Is this about the leaks on the Afghanistan war? Or what is this about?
I think he started off on that, but he just went off on a tangent about how liberals hate the military.
Ah.
Yeah.
Just the sort of standard guard variety.
Yeah. Obama is part and parcel of the American left, which believes the United States military is the focus of evil. That the U.S. has been the imperialist and colonialist nation.
When George Bush was in charge.
This is one of the reasons I think that that Obama clearly believes we need to have a lesson or two taught to us. We need to be shown the evils of our way. We need to have happen to us the kind of things that we have perpetrated against others.
What?
Ah, so he's commander-in-chief of a military that he hates, presumably, and wishes ill.
Yeah.
So he thinks that he released these papers.
There you go. That's probably it. Oh, wait till you see, speaking of conspiracy sausages coming up in Right Wing World, wait till you see who the latest Shirley Sherrod.
What?
Who leaked? What theory? 17 minutes after
You're
the
kidding.
Hour. Back with more Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Whoa. I really never hoped I'd hear that song again.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'd rather hear that or Brandy?
By the way, Tim writes, folks, Brandy was not a prostitute. She was a barmaid. Is there a difference?
No, not really.
Oh, I'm kidding.
Well, in a port.
Oh, you know, well, good luck to us getting served at a bar from now on.
You were a cocktail waitress
Hello,
once.
Hello, bar whore. Yes, I was a cocktail waitress at Fung Lum Chinese restaurant. I had to wear a polyester kimono that I got too fat for because I ate too many goldfish crackers because I was cursing my life.
Oh. Was this before or after you cleaned airplanes?
Does it matter?
Because I was working at Universal at the same time, I think, that you were doing.
Really?
That. Yes.
Did you ever pop in for a drink at Fung Lum?
I did.
He's like, who's the fat chick in the kimono?
with the curly hair.
And the unibrow. Oh, no, that was gone by then.
Oh, dear God. See, we can't get out of the 70s hole now, the 70s wuss rock, Kathy and Madison. We can't forget MacArthur Park.
That was the 60s.
Oh, okay. Yeah, a dude sang that first, didn't he?
Richard Harris.
Richard Harris, famous actor.
Yeah. Dude, actually, that probably is the wussiest song ever that a dude sang, I think.
No, I mean, I like the melody, but the whole thing about the cake, the icing, and the
well, it's just meant to be dramatic. I mean, yes, this is a dramatic, over-the-top song.
Never waiting for us, girl. It ran one step ahead as we joined the dance.
That's a pretty song.
It's kind of power ballady.
Except for the harp,
there wasn't a word for that. In the 60s.
Oh, that's enough. I can't even make it to the chorus in that.
No, you're singing the Donna Summer version.
Someone left the cake out in the rain on the sweet green icing flowing down.
No, that's not.
Oh, he has a lovely voice. All right.
Surprised I hit that note. This
since
really
we are funny. In the midst of Right Wing World, Christopher writing a. This is a script from one of our right-wing callers.
Mm.
Steph, I am not a liberal or a conservative. I stumbled across your show, and I was wondering why you never support our lords and masters at Fox News when they say, wait, I have to check the script to see what I'm complaining about. Hold on, this is last week's script. Where was I supposed to tell you about the unregulated oil drilling that's good for the environment? Here's one about how Republicans like Newton Rush are good family men. Damn it, I can't find my latest script from the RNC. Okay, thank you for that. Thank you for writing it in instead of calling. All right. Oh, Chris, by the way, sends us a great cartoon, The Top Tax Rate, a little historical perspective, and it has, like, all the presidents sitting atop what the tax rates were, 77%, 94%, 87%, 77%, 70%, 39% under Clinton, 33% under Bush, and then Obama putting in the 40% and a bunch of people saying, oh, my God, 40% socialism. All right. Jim Quinn on the War Room radio show.
Yeah.
This is the latest Shirley Sherrod conspiracy snossage.
Yes, it is.
Mm.
Shirley Sherrod. This story happened while we were on vacation, and it served to distract a lot of people from the hideous stuff that the Obama administration is doing. You know, you'd almost think this was a setup. I would love to know who gave this tape. Or this film, whatever it was, of Shirley Sherrod giving a speech. I'd love to know who gave this tape to Breitbart.
And who told him to edit it
I'm
like that.
I'm guessing it was Barack Obama.
Because of all the terrible stuff Obama has done.
Yes. He was trying to distract. You see how that worked? Mm-hmm. So, you see.
Like that war in Afghanistan. What a boneheaded idea that was. Or that giant deficit. Huh, what is he thinking? What was there before? Oh, okay, never mind.
Our whiny little friend, Mark Levin. I can't even get her name right, can I?
He's going to be sarcastic.
Shirley Sherrod was on CNN.
Somebody saw it, so let me just tell you quickly. And she accused Andrew Breitbart of wanting to take us back to the days of slavery. Mm-hmm. You know what? She's not only a race baiter, she's an idiot. Please, quote me. Not only is she a race baiter, but an idiot.
Mm-hmm. I see. So she's the, once again, she's the actual, the real racist,
right.
Not Andrew Breitbart. She's an idiot and a race baiter.
He didn't go on to say why she was an idiot.
No.
Shelley
Sherrod.
Oh, he's thinking of something completely different. Maybe that Shelley Sherrod is a race baiting idiot.
Maybe
he's...
We don't know who Shelley Sherrod is.
I think we know why right-wing radio is so profitable. They save a lot of money on fact-checkers.
Yeah.
Shelley Sherrod, somebody.
We have fact-checkers?
Sure we do.
Do we?
We have an army of them.
Okay.
Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear.
Burr.
Obviously, it's going to hurt our economy. You don't want to raise any taxes in a recession.
Mm.
And you don't want to raise taxes on the employing class in the middle of a jobless recession. But I think as a talking point, as a thing you want to argue in an election, it might actually help the Democrats, or at least they think so.
You know, Charles Krauthammer is a bit of an idiot, because these are tax cuts that are set to expire on schedule. It is not a tax hike, you moron!
Yeah.
Yes, but by letting things happen, that makes him a tax-hiking communist.
I love the fact, like, obviously, the problem is people they aren't hiring now, so they're going, oh... But if you let that expire, then they're not going to hire.
Yeah,
really,
see?
Extra double not going to hire.
Yeah, you're going to be doubly not hired. So there. All right. Oh, dear God. Glenn Beck. He's you know what? He's a simple man. He breaks it down for you so you have just simple choices in life.
We must choose now.
Oh.
Now is the time.
Yes.
Do we choose those who create fear
limit choices.
That'd be you.
Lie, cheat,
yep.
steal.
You.
Fox.
Do
Fox,
we
Fox.
Stand with Acorn, communist revolutionaries, Panthers, Union thugs?
What?
Or do we stand with the troops?
Oh, the troops.
Cops. Your church.
Oh.
Cops are unionized, pal.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Union thugs like
oh.
cops.
Oh,
oops.
Lions and tigers and union thugs. Oh, my. That's so scary, Glenn.
What an idiot.
Was it? Hello, false choices are us. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Let's review. What? Acorn, communist, Panthers, union thugs, or cops, the troops, and your church. Those are the only...
Cops are union.
And
Acorn
they,
did nothing wrong. There was they couldn't
right.
pin anything on Acorn, but they made them go away anyway.
Yeah, that's the biggest part of that whole yeah. scandal. Not the stupid costumes, but the fact that they were getting information and called the cops over it.
Yeah.
So the whole story was false. Liars, liars, liars! 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You know you're the girl for me, and all that I want to be.
Oh,
what
my
the hell is
God.
That?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I snorted. 34
yep.
minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Don't forget tomorrow, Hump Days with Hal Sparks live in studio.
With us, and he's going to be bringing his video equipment so you can see all four of us.
Me on my mobility scooter.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Hal doing comedy from your mobility scooter.
And he will improvise an infomercial like he usually does, surrounding and mocking me and my age and my mobility scooter. Okay. Carl Frisch from Media Matters to co-host Right Wing World and also New York columnist Frank Rich, the best columnist in the world, joins us tomorrow. All right. So a big, big show. Oh, Larry in New Haven, by the way. So glad we're all back in L.A. together. We love L.A. Steph and the Mooks, so glad you're...
Love
it. Separating you guys by continent was like taking one of the unholy trio in fifth grade and transferring her out of Miss Geckler's class.
Huh?
Oh, you remember Miss Geckler. Without the three cut-ups together in the back of the room, it just wasn't the same. Oh, that's very nice. It was...
I thought we pulled it off, though. I mean, it wasn't a complete disaster.
I'm a woman, I'm used to faking it, for God's sakes.
Ah.
All right, a moratorium after this, but we have fallen down the 70s rabbit hole. Julie says the sappiest wuss rock ballad ever, of course, was Mandy, not Brandy.
No,
it was the...
you can't consider Barry Manilow rock. No.
Yeah. That reminds me of me. Came and I gave without taking. I'm a giver. Okay, Patty... Patty in Fort Lauderdale. Oh, now people are sending us the thoughts for the day because we started reading some of those. Steph, a couple of my favorites. For centuries, people thought the moon was made out of green cheese, but then the astronauts found the moon is really a big hard rock. That's what happens to cheese when you leave it out. She thought we'd like that because we're both cheese lovers. I don't know.
All right.
If Elvis was so great, how come he's buried in the backyard like a hamster? I don't know. And finally, golf isn't a sport. It's landscaping with the wrong tools. That's true.
Yeah. Divots are us.
All right. Oh, can I have some comedy music? I haven't seen these. Jim draws our attention to the company called Bubble Genius, offering a collection of Republican voodoo dolls.
Hmm.
You can get a bonehead. There's a little orange one called the bonehead. Glenn Beck, Sarah Palin, Rush Limbaugh, Ann Coulter, Virginia Fox, or Michelle Bachman. They each have a keychain accessory. Glenn Beck has a crazy board, Sarah Palin, teabag, Rush Limbaugh, pill bottle, Ann Coulter, broomstick. The Boehner has a suntan lotion, Virginia Fox tinfoil hat, Michelle Bachman, cuckoo clock. That's cute. And the company donates a third of its profits to progressive campaigns.
Oh.
Yay! Hmm. What a cute little idea. All right. Wow! Speaking of new ideas in the Republican Party, guess what Newt Gingrich says, frankly? This
what?
Time it's for real, the presidential test balloon.
Frankly.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a great idea? Newt Gingrich again.
He's got an inflated sense of self-importance, doesn't he?
You think? On Sunday, he shot down an assertion that he's only toying with the idea of running for president to boost his publishing and other endeavors. Callista and I, that's his current wife. for those of you keeping track.
And which wife is this? Is this the one he left his...
This is the intern, I believe, that he was banging when he was trying to impeach Bill Clinton and was leaving his dying wife in the that had cancer in the hospital.
I think this is wife number three. I think he's the one
after.
Oh,
it's the wife after that?
Oh, that kind of family values. Okay.
Yes. Could be Calista Flockhart, for all I know. He moves fast.
Although Calista and Harrison just did get married recently.
Oh, good for them.
And Newt Gingrich certainly has too fine of family values to mess with anybody's else's... family
marriage.
Values.
Yeah.
Calista and I are seriously looking at in our family.
Right.
See, there you go, family. He got family in there
family,
twice.
Family,
wife
family,
and family.
Family, wife and family, family, wife.
Wife
my
and
wife
family.
And my family. Frankly.
Our family is this one. He means this current one, this family now. This could change by the election cycle.
Sure.
The
other family are buried in the backyard like hamsters. Yeah,
family's a fluid situation to Newt Gingrich.
Our family is seriously looking at what it would take. Gingrich said, you can assume that up until February or March, then if I don't run, you'll be able to say, I told you so. If I do run, you'll go, wow, this time it was real. Right. Yes, we'll say wow. That's
well,
for sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
He moves
wow.
in the White House, they'll have to widen the doors.
Was that a fat
that
joke?
That was a fat joke. That was funny.
Wow.
Robert in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie
Miller
Show.
Obama's so skinny.
Hey, along with all of those wussy songs in the 70s, one that I haven't heard mentioned is Sylvia's Mother. Don't know who sings it, but it was
what?
Just one
Sylvia's
of the
Sylvia's Mother?
Sylvia's Mother? How does it go?
The guy's on the phone saying, Sylvia's Mother says that Sylvia's happy.
I curse you for foisting this upon us. I've never even heard of this song. Who knows this
song? It's by Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show.
Oh, well.
Sylvia's mother says Sylvia's busy.
All right.
That's awful. That's rather hideous.
Sarah in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, thanks.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for calling.
I would like to be the official union thug of the Stephanie Miller Show.
You are the official union thug. Why, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'm headed off to make things a little more uncomfortable for the employer class. And I appreciate you doing all you do.
Thank you. And thank you for being, I hope you'll be my muscle somewhere that I need somebody to be menaced.
I will. I've got good. Guido in the back seat and Bobby's in the trunk. So
good.
Go.
Like any good union thug should. Thank you, Sarah.
That's right. You bet.
Oh, she employed the snark and the sarcasm there. Did you see that?
I did.
You see what she did there?
I'm in three different unions, so I must be a triple union thug.
You're really thuggy.
I have never been a member of a union.
Get out.
You're fired.
Well, then you have no power here.
You're fired.
I can do whatever
I
want.
Hey, Jim, you
want
to form a Stephanie Miller union?
Sure.
Rebecca, come in here.
Yeah, Attica, well, Attica.
Union. We remain repressed.
This show depends on us being disorganized, for God's sake. If we organized, we'd be screwed.
These working conditions are untenable.
All right. Working in a coal mine.
It is.
To come in and make the fart jokes and then... All right, this is the part where you go, is that who he is or what he does? Ken Buck.
Is that who he is or what he does?
I don't know. He's just bucking a convention. Did you see this? I love when they get caught on camera. Teabagging the teabaggers. He's the teabagger candidate. He's the Tea Party candidate.
Oh.
He called teabaggers a bunch of dumbasses the other
day. Yes.
Oops.
What was the occasion?
Tea Party candidate Ken Buck.
Is that who you are or what you do?
Mm-hmm.
Bucky.
He's,
we'll call him Bucky.
He is running in the Colorado Republican Senate primary, has surged in recent polls due in large part to the teabaggers.
Mm-hmm.
Conservative activists have berated his opponent, Lieutenant Governor Jane Norton, as the Washington establishment character.
No, that's bad.
Buck, meanwhile, has based his campaign on catering to the Tea Party interests among his positions, questioning the illegality of Social Security, eliminating federal student loans, and undoing the separation between church and state. So, despite drawing much of his support from the teabaggers, Buck was caught on tape earlier this month referring to Tea Party members as dumbasses.
He said,
you tell those dumbasses at the Tea Party to stop asking questions about birth certificates while I'm on camera? Oh, there goes his Tea Party support. Oh, well. Good luck there. Let's go to Dave in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hi,
Mama. I say you cannot forget the Paul Anka song, Having My Baby, when you're talking about awful songs.
Well,
you know,
see, now we've gone from wuss rock to just awful 70s songs again. See how we slid? It's a slip and slide once you get started on the 70s.
Yeah, this couldn't be considered rock by, in any way, shape, or form.
No.
My baby. What a lovely way.
Oh, this is awful.
How much you love me.
I can think of better ways. Pro Flowers, for instance. Type Stephanie in the box. Steve in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Welcome. Good morning, all.
I'm always here. No need to welcome me. Thank you.
I know. I'm sorry.
All right.
Sylvia's mother should not be in wuss rock category. Not at all.
Why?
Well, it's Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show. If you listen to any of their music, it's all about getting stoned, getting drunk, and getting late, basically.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the other thing I have, I'm sorry, but the Jersey Shore comment, look, I'm from New York. I am Italian. Those are the people that go to the Jersey Shore.
True.
They are allowed. New Yorkers are allowed to go to Jersey.
The Jersey governor has more important things to deal with than an MTV show that is targeted towards 16 to 25.
Yeah, right. You're right. What's the unemployment rate there? It's like, oh, okay. Turn the TV off and do something.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, honey. Let's go to Chris in Los Angeles. Hello, Chris. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mama.
Hello.
Fun lums. Did you ever go to Victoria Station after a hard day's work?
And, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh,
good times. Good times.
Used to drink Long Island iced teas.
Nazareth, Love Hurts.
Love.
Yeah, that's true.
I like that one, actually.
Yeah, actually, I like that song, too. Is that wuss rock, Jim? What do you say?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
But love does hurt. It wounds. It mars.
It mars. Yeah,
it does.
I don't have
and
that.
It stings if you're not careful.
It also bleeds sometimes.
Yes. Well, penicillin.
Well, only women bleed, according to
Stop
Alice
it!
Cooper.
All right, let's see what happens once you start on the...
My friend Glenn says the worst one is Charlene's I've Never Been to Me.
Oh,
yeah. Well, we've said that many times. Been, That's one of the tenets of the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the most awful song musically, morally. What other way?
I've never been to me.
Hey, lady.
We like the Jerry Lewis twist at the beginning. Yeah. But other than that,
you're a discontented mother.
Just politically, morally, just
my.
So she's basically telling other women, don't be a whore like I was.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, you know, subtle whoring, not my specialty either.
No.
If you're going to do it, just, you know, put it out there.
Mm. Want to talk to you. Ooh, I've been to Georgia, California.
Okay.
Anywhere I could run. Took the hand of a preacher man.
Whatever. Whatever.
I think
her.
She's over-repenting in this song. I really do.
Yeah, I do, too. Mm-hmm. It's a Ted Haggard thing.
Uh-huh. Oh, God. 45 minutes after the hour. All right, the latest on the WikiLeaks, they're being called on the Afghanistan wars. We continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's all about fun. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Muskrat Sam, do the jitterbug out in Muskrat Land, and they shear me.
Steffi
starts to giggle.
Is this really necessary?
Like Muskrat love.
Mostly because I can do that, and I can do a muskrat, now I can do a dolphin.
Wow. Talk about rodents doing it. What?
Okay. See, once you've fallen in the 70s, you can't get up, is all I'm saying. It's Tom in Illinois.
Hey, Mama, how you doing?
I'm all right. Go ahead.
If I could be the official 10 a.m. beer drinker of the 70 Miller Show, I'd appreciate it.
Got a lot of competition in Madison, but go ahead.
back in the 70s, when I delivered newspapers, I had to collect on Saturdays. This one woman, every Saturday, Time in a Bottle was playing on her stereo.
Oh.
I wanted to shoot myself in the face, but I wasn't old enough to buy a gun.
Here's your mail. And now I'm going to shoot myself in the face, so you'll have a different carrier tomorrow.
If I could say time in a bottle.
Maybe Jim Croce was so sensitive because he was so, like, hard to look at.
He was a little visually challenged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jim in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. He looks like someone like you find what you find in your drain in the shower.
I have a great candidate for Wuss Rock. Remember this one by Debbie Boone. You Light Up My Life.
No,
okay, that's not even remotely.
That's not even remotely. Now we're just in the 70s.
Drek.
Miasma. Yes. Diane in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Mama.
Hello.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, as long as we're still talking about 70s Wuss Rock, we cannot omit Joe Cocker, a man who years earlier was playing at Woodstock, and now he's doing You Are So Beautiful.
Right.
That's true.
You are,
at least he sounds a little more... A little more manly, singing a wimpy song. Robert in Palm Springs.
Oh, gosh, you guys have forgotten the most putrid one of all. Mm. Alone Again Naturally.
Oh,
no.
Gilbert O'Sullivan. Yes.
Loser.
Yes. Oh, and Chris, by the way, there's a great drop for Steph for the Marie Provost. There actually is a song by Nick Lowe called Marie Provost. And the chorus is, she was a winner who became the doggie's dinner.
Wow.
That's how it all ends for Mama. All right.
In a little while from now. Feeling any less sound, I promised myself to treat myself to visit a nearby town.
Okay, and my anthem, Paul in Phoenix with my high school anthem. Yes, Paul?
Oh, my stomach hurts listening to this.
I know.
Yeah, that Mousy Janice Ian song, something no, about the teenage beauty queen.
Yes, that's a, well,
17.
It's 17, yes. We've had Janice Ian on the show.
She's the official folk rock singer of the Stephanie Miller Show, actually.
Yes, because somehow we started talking about this, and she
yes.
listens. Oh, dear God. Yeah, I listen to this as an Armenian wolf child in Buffalo. All right, let's, the big story, obviously, the Afghanistan story, the WikiLeaks, they're being called.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think there's no doubt that this is a concerning development in operational security. As we said earlier, it poses a very real and potential threat.
Well,
to those that are working hard every day to keep us safe.
What they should be concerned about is that Afghanistan is just a lost cause.
I mean, yeah. Well, Larry Korb said that to us earlier today, Reagan's former assistant defense secretary. He said, I'm not sure it's a danger to the troops, but it's, you know.
Danger to the idea
that this we might actually be accomplishing something there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Robert Gibbs.
It's not the content as much as it is their names, their operations, there's logistics, their sources, all of that information out in a public way has the potential, Ed, to do harm.
Yeah, it did remind me, though, this is just another giant mess that he inherited. Because I have to say, right after 9/11, I was in New York for 9/11.
Yeah.
And I remember doing some town hall with, I don't know, Eve Ensler and people that were like, we should drop doves over Afghanistan, not bombs. And,
oh.
I mean, I was even like, ugh. But I'm just saying, now we'll never know if we had gone in and done the job correctly and not gotten...
bogged down.
Yes, in Iraq.
Yeah.
But at this point, I mean, it's just you look at these leaks and what a mess.
And also with all the talk about bombing Iran, that's going to further destabilize the region.
Yeah, absolutely.
How can you go back now and rewrite it?
Worst possible time.
This is the WikiLeaks founder.
Or hopefully a deep understanding and scrutiny of the war in Afghanistan, and as a result, changes in policy about the prosecution of the war.
All right. So we will have more on that tomorrow. First of all, a couple of them. Al Franken, who I mentioned earlier. Don't you love when somebody in political life slips and tells the truth? People go insane. But he said, you know, what I think everybody knows at this point is the truth. He, this is his whole quote. He said, Republicans sort of take the stance, the best thing we can do is slow down everything so we can, so as little can happen as possible, so we can blame Democrats for not having stuff happen, like jobs bills, stuff like that. And so that, you know, I mean, sometimes it'll be a legitimate difference of opinion on something, but sometimes it's been ridiculous. I do think this whole approach of slowing everything down in many ways, I think it's so that they don't want a jobs bill because they don't want people to get jobs before the election. It's a harsh thing to say, and I don't want to impugn the motives of my colleagues, but I don't get what they're doing otherwise.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Of course they're doing that.
Yes.
So look how bad things are. Well.
Yes.
What were you doing for the past several years?
And the let's hear it for the boy part two is Governor Chairman Dr. Howard Dean, who said Fox is racist. Yes. Yes. Let's just say it like it is.
All right.
He said their handling of the Shirley Sherrod controversy was absolutely racist. He said, I don't think Newt Gingrich is a racist, and I don't think you're racist, he said to Chris Wallace. But Fox News did something that was absolutely racist. They had an obligation to find out what was really in the clip. They had been pushing a theme of black racism with this phony Black Panther crap and this business and the Sotomayor and all this other stuff. When Wallace interrupted Dean to point out that Fox News didn't air the Sherrod footage until after the Obama administration had fired her, Dean shot back. It was about to go on Glenn Beck, which is what the administration was afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we've got to stop being afraid of Glenn Beck and the racist fringe of the Republican Party, but Fox News was not blameless during this. You played it up. He said, the Tea Party called out their racist fringe. I think the Republican Party's got to stop appealing to its racist fringe, and Fox News is what did
yep.
that. You put that on, continuing to cater to this theme of minority racism and stressing comments like this, some of which are taken out of context, has not helped the country knit itself together. Thank you, Chairman.
It also
Dr.
appeared,
Governor Howard.
It also appeared on FoxNews.com before it appeared on Fox News Channel. So,
uh-huh.
And last time I checked, FoxNews.com was a part of Fox News.
Really?
Hump Days with Hal tomorrow, and of course, Frank Rich, the best columnist in the world. Don't miss it. We will see you then. I'd like to thank Chris LeBoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.